You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
the Bard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
So you can order your day. You don't even have to have a headache. Listening to that kind of foolishness over years will make you think you're never supposed to go through anything. I refuse to teach that kind of heresy. In him dwells all of the fullness. Believe me, if Jesus had to bear a cross, so must us. But you can do it. You're complete in him. You can be able to run, I said it before, through a troop and leap over a wall.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Reaching Full Spiritual Stature. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10.
If he put a gift in you, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. In other words, you could be doing everything else. He still called you what he called you when he gave you the gift. And he's going to hold you responsible to mature it. Thank you, Lord. And so there's no distinction in the Hebrew or in the Greek between title and name. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And name shall be upon his shoulder. His government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called not a wonderful, not an adjective. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. His name shall be called Prince of Peace. He's trying to show you, you can't put God in a box. Sometimes he will heal by speaking. As you go, you will be healed. Sometimes he laid hands on them and healed them. Sometimes he opened up their eyes and spit in their eyes. Because he won't allow you to put him in a box to say what's decent or not. Nobody in the 21st century would say it's cool for a man to spit in somebody's eyes. But what is he trying to show you? That if you're desperate enough, you don't care how your blessing comes. Oh my God, you don't care. You're not looking for somebody to do it right or to be politically correct. If somebody is in need, you don't care how it comes as long as he blesses me. And any way he blesses me, I'm satisfied. Don't let people put you in a box about God. He will never be put in a box. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I found 9. They say, what's wrong with him? Well, I didn't get no sleep. That's what's wrong with me. That's what's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. The Old Testament resonates, I believe, with 9 things that I've discovered. And I share some of them with you just now. I got ahead of myself. But I want you to understand some things about God. And you need to see yourself being complete and full in stature, growing in stature with these 9 things developing in your life. Number 1 is patience. God is patient. Say, God is patient. That means if you're going to be full in Christ, you need to develop your patience. Don't ever pray for it. He's already prescribed things in your life that's going to cause you, if you stick with him, to grow in patience. You don't have to say, Lord, make me for you. That's the worst thing you can pray for. Since you asked for it, I'm going to give it to you. And what you'll start seeing is situation after situation after situation after situation after situation after situation happening, and he wants you to deal with it like you're running a hurdle race. You got to hurdle. You got to jump. You got to kick your left leg over, bring your right leg over, and keep striding, and he'll give you a hurdle after a hurdle after a hurdle so you can start developing your stride and developing your patience as you negotiate obstacles. So don't ever pray for patience. You don't have to. He's already pre-described a hurdle for you to jump over. I decree and declare that the next hurdle you jump over, you're not going to leave a dress on it. You're not going to leave your skirt on it. You're not going to leave your pants on it. None of your flesh is going to be over it. You're going to jump over it, and you're going to do it successfully in the name of Jesus. David said, through you, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. And I decree and declare that you can run through a troop that's people who are in your way, and you can leap over any obstacle that's coming your way. And if you get Jesus in you, he's going to cause you to leap over it. And as you negotiate obstacles, you learn patience. So stop saying, why me? And say, God, how do I deal with it? Because God is patient. You don't hear me ministering more on it. God allows his people to go through things, and he brags on it. Glory to God. Satan is in the midst, in Job 1, of the sons of God, walking in the midst of them, which means once you become a son, there are realms that you can't be kicked out of. Once you become a son or submitted to God, hallelujah, there are things that the enemy, even the devil, because he's a son, he's a son of God, he's able to walk in the midst of the sons of God, even after he's kicked out. And if you become a son, there are realms that you will enter into. God loves sonship. Glory to God. You can go to hell, but he still calls you son. Man, I'm preaching. Amen. Satan's in the midst of the sons of God. Yes. And it wasn't Satan that walked up to God. God said to him, have you, Satan, what you doing? Where you at? He said, well, I've been in the earth. I've been going, coming here, walking in the midst of the angels, looking at where the place that I used to occupy. I wish I can get back there, but I can't. I know it's blocked. And then I'm going in the earth, seeing, I'm mad at you and seeing who I can destroy. Well, have you considered my servant Job? Yes, I've considered to him. I've been in his house. He got bad theology. He thought because he was good, nothing bad is supposed to happen to him. He sat up in churches where they told him everything gonna be all right if you just confess faith. So you can order your day. You don't even have to have a headache. Listening to that kind of foolishness over years will make you think you're never supposed to go through anything. I refuse to teach that kind of heresy. In him dwells all of the fullness. Believe me, if Jesus had to bear a cross, so must us. But you can do it. You're complete in him. You can be able to run, I said it before, through a troop and leap over a wall. He said, yes, I visited his house. It's got a hedge around it. There are areas I can't touch. But if you remove the hedge, I believe I can make him curse you to your face. I wonder, has that conversation happened since? I wonder, has God had a conversation with the evil one concerning you? I wonder, has the enemy come in the midst of the sons of God and said, I visited his house. I visited his portfolio. I visited her room. I visited her ministry. I visited her potential. I can make her curse you to your face when you've done all of this stuff for her if you remove a hedge. Glory to God. I wonder how many times, because I personally believe Satan is constantly doing what we see in Job 1. And that is, he's going to God and seeing if God would slightly remove a hedge and give him some type of access into our lives to see what we would do after he touch our flesh, after he touch the thing that we love the most, after he touches our mind, after he touches our resources, after he touches our heart. So God is a God of patience. The second one, he's a God of mercy. I'm going to preach on it, but I need to drop it. He's a God of mercy. That means he doesn't give us what we deserve. And if you're completing God, that means somebody can do you wrong and you will still give mercy. Or you will set them free versus taking them to the woodshed and pulling out a whip and beating them to the inch of their lives and then tell them to get back in the field and work. And then beat them the next day and then tell them to get back in the field and work. And then beat them the next day and 10 years have passed and you're still beating. You know the scars that are inflicted. And all you got to do is forgive so you don't have to beat. And they don't have to receive pain. God is a God of mercy. Come on, somebody. I say God is a God of mercy. Do you know how many lashes that I deserve in my life? Look over your shoulder. Take a snapshot of your life. I know you're all right. You ain't seen in a long time. You good. But if we scrolled it back, can any of us say we perfect? Glory to God. I think all of us need mercy. So stay with me, Lord, have mercy on me. Glory to God, hallelujah. Lord, have mercy on me. Not on my mother or my father, but have mercy on me and help me to show mercy. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He's also, number three, a God that's gracious. God is gracious. That means when he serves you a bowl of silk, of soup, he doesn't plop it on the plate or on the table. He's gracious as he moves with you. He don't just say, take it. You better be happy. He's gracious as he serves us. If you're complete in Christ, there's an attribute of that that's going to start manifesting in you. You're not just blunt, but there's a grace that he adds to us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I know I preach blunt, but in my life, I try to be gracious. I do preach straight up. But if you walk with me during the day, you will see that I'm trying to be gracious as I serve people. Don't judge me by my preaching style. I'm preaching to the world. And some of you that didn't come to church today and you're still at home, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You got to set your alarm clock. You got to get up and get on up. So I'm blunt when I talk like that, but I'm gracious. I know you got babies. I know I'm tired too. You got stuff you're dealing with. I understand that. But if I can get up, you can get up. Glory to God. I have to set an alarm, man. Thank you, Jesus. And ladies say, don't turn it off. Don't hit snooze. I understand, though, and I think God allows leaders to go through things to remind us that people are going through issues. You got young families with babies, and still they get here at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you for reminding me. But did you have to do it like that? I got it, God. Come on. God is gracious, and I think God wants us to be gracious. I want you to think about you and usher here in the ministry, and somebody comes through the door, and they're just mad, maybe mad at their spouse. But they take it out on you. The ushers here are trained. I'm not saying everybody's going to do everything right every Sunday, but they're kind of trained to take it, though you give it. If you flipped it, though, you couldn't take 2 cents of what you dish out. You'll be out of there. I'm out. I'm going home. I'm amazed with anybody in this ministry that can be so upset in the service, you going home. You're so upset with somebody or something somebody say, you're going to take off, get your purse or your pocketbook or your wallet and walk out and go home. And you don't see that's the devil? You don't see that's the devil. You don't see, you could be mad in the mall. You don't leave the mall. I took my Segway to the mall, to Miracle City, not Miracle City, to Melbourne Mall. My Segway, two-wheel scooter. And I rolled up in there. And here come a guy, man. Hold up. Security guy, hold up. So, okay, I held up. He's on the Segway. I'm on the Segway. But mine is more expensive. So he got a problem. And he looked like me. But he got a problem. I can tell already. He looked, you've seen people, you drive a nice car, you ride up, they look at your car, turn away. If they look like you. You've seen it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't need to see it. But I'm letting you know what happens. It's people that look like you. So I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about people that look like you. Have a problem with your prosperity. I ride up in the mall. He's on the Segway. I'm there. He ride up. Boss, what's up? What you doing? I said, man, de-escalate, man. It's okay. Usually criminals don't have a Segway. Usually. They're not going to come to the mall on a scooter like that, what, and break into the jewelry store and then ride out with it, riding out, riding's going around. They usually don't do that. Then where am I going to put the scooter? I got to have a vehicle to put it in. He going off, man, like I'm a criminal. So I said, what do I need to do? He said, well, let's call up. Let's call up. So he called headquarters, and I'm hearing him on the phone. I said, why don't I just go and check it in? All right. So I go and check it in. And they say, you know what? You're qualified to ride it. It's a mobility thing, and please go with it. It's no problem. I said, do you understand now? I'm not the enemy, man. I'm going to talk to 1,000 kids. 1,000 kids that don't look like me are walking up to me. What is that? Tell me about it, and I'm able to speak to them. Sometimes God allow you to ride on technology because he's trying to get somebody else's attention so you can give them a word that's going to change their lives. And instead of being an obstructionist to stop the move of God, you ought to help it. Why don't you, security guy, myself, ride through the mall together? And let's stop theft here. Because I can say something. I may see potential. You want to catch them, but I can stop them before they do it. I can see the way you're looking around. I'm not going to judge you, but I can see you. You're looking around. You don't know that they got a camera watching you. Son, they're watching you. What? They're watching you. There's a camera. Look at that camera right over there. Wave at it. They're watching you, waiting for you to do that so they can take you to jail. I can't tell you how many times I've done that to stop kids from getting in trouble. Be gracious. It's not always attack, attack, attack. Did you develop a style? That's what Jesus would do. He met the woman at the well. He didn't just attack her. He knew her history. And he was gentle and gracious in how he dealt with her. In other words, if you see somebody with dirty hands, why don't you start washing yours while they're washing theirs? You don't always have to attack the dirty hands. But can I pass you some soap as I wash mine? I believe God wants us to be complete in the thing called graciousness. Here's number four. God is abundant in goodness. Abundant in what? Goodness. Goodness. He's so abundant, it will follow you all of the days of your life. And if you're complete in him, you're going to drop goodness on people and let it follow them. You're going to be able to pay it forward. Sometimes pay for a meal and they don't know it was you. Amen. Glory to God. Or put a $100 bill in somebody's hand in your church that you see struggling without them asking for it. And you're going to be so good that the ones that always ask you, you tell them I've done enough. You need to get a job. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Goodness is not just giving. It's instructing. God is also truthful, and truth should be a belt that wraps around us. If you're going to be complete in God, you need to be complete in truth. Be true to yourself. Glory to God. Know your weaknesses and stay away from them. This is wisdom. It's not being a superhuman. It's knowing your weaknesses and staying away from them. I've always said it. If you have a problem with drinking, why are you up in ABC Liquor? Tell me, why are you in there? I just like the bottles. Well, why are you in ABC Liquor? Thank you, Jesus. If you know you have a weakness, then stay away from it. You can't stay away from it ever. But my point is, wait until you got some strength. God is loving. So if we're complete in Him, we should be loving. Amen. We should develop a loving spirit. Well, some believe I can't be loving if I don't feel it. Yes, you can. You can be loving. We do it all of the time. It's an act of will. Number six, He's forgiving. Mercy is tied to forgiveness. I saw a movie last week called The Forge. And you ought to go and see it. And I won't say anything about it, but you should go and see it. That's a good movie. Talking about forgiveness. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, man. Forgiveness should shake us to the core when we see it. I mean, it should make us quake. Well, oh, God. I've been holding your neck on this when this person has forgiven that. Oh, my God. If you're complete in forgiveness, you'll soar more. I don't think anybody will be at 100% because we're not Jesus, but we can sure be greater than 25%. We're settling for 25% forgiveness where you may have the capacity to be at 75%. And all you have to do is just look at self like, oh, man, wow, I need forgiveness. And it'll help you to forgive others. Amen. Number seven. God is a God that judgeth. He judges. But it's always righteousness. Yes. Solomon is sitting on the throne after he comes from Gibeon and offered 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. And the scripture says, and God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, what do you want from me? He says, I need wisdom. He said, you know what? Because you didn't ask for money and wealth and all of the stuff that other kings have asked me for. And you asked me for something that would take me to give it to you. You couldn't develop it on your own. I'm going to give you wisdom and expand your heart like the sands of the sea. And I'm going to accompany it with resources like no one before you has ever seen before. And anytime you ask God to give you something that's greater than what you can achieve by going to school and reading books and hanging around gurus, when you ask Him for something that elevates you above the most, hallelujah, or the rest, and you can't do it on your own, it pleases Him. When you ask Him for the ability to judge properly, glory to God, it pleases Him. Solomon comes from Gibeon and he's sitting on the throne and the scripture says he created a banquet for the servants. And what God is about to do in His court, only those who serve would see it. This is unique now. This, if you want to be a judge, you got to learn how to serve first because God sets banquets for servants. Whoo, Jesus. And Solomon is sitting on the throne and he decided to bring out the fatted calf. He decided to make sure the wine was there and all of the assorted meats were there and all of the trappings and the condiments for everybody to come in and sit down and eat with him. But only the servants were able to dine. And in the midst of that, two women come in with one baby and both of them are saying, the baby is mine. And they're harlots. That means they're having sex for money. And they, one of them laid on their child and the child suffocated. The other one was a pretty decent mother. And they're holding the baby, pulling the baby in front of Solomon in the midst of this. But you got to see who's in the courts, glory to God. It is the servants who are watching this. And there's some things you will not get the wisdom on. You will never see in the private sector. You'll never know how God will work it out until you start serving. They're pulling on the baby, almost about to pull the baby apart. So Solomon said, bring me the sword and divide the child. Give half to one and half to the other. It stopped the pulling of sorts. And the real mother said, no, don't divide the child. Let her have it as long as the child can live. But the phony mother said, cut it up. Because I want to be right. And wisdom exposed their hearts. God is a God that judges properly. And if you ever become complete in it, you won't just say, I want to be right in the situation. But how can we preserve life?
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Reaching Full Spiritual Stature, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 24090108. That's reference number 24090108.
Ladies, registration is open for Awaken's 19th Annual Women's Conference, Expectancy, Expect Greater, at Truth Reveal on Friday and Saturday, September 27th and 28th. Hotel accommodations are available at Hampton Inn & Suites off Palm Bay Road. Use group code EWC to reserve your room by Friday, September 13th. Don't miss out. Register for this dynamic event by using the Truth Reveal mobile app, visiting our website, or scanning the QR code in the foyer to join us for a weekend filled with inspiration and empowerment.
And that was our Inspired Men. Mark your calendar for Saturday, September 14th at 9 a.m. and join Bishop Clark and special guest as you aim to build, encourage, and sharpen one another. Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high-energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 11 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. New members' classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.